The Word became flesh. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. 17 passages of Scripture say that Jesus existed before the world. So Jesus, who saw creation being formed, including water, was thirsty. How can this be? Jesus, who turned water into wine, Jesus, who offered the Samaritan woman at the well living water that anyone who drinks of it will never thirst, that Jesus is thirsty. Could he not save himself? Some believe Jesus' thirsting in our passage is spiritual. Jesus thirsted for the kingdom of God. Yes. Some commentators believe Jesus' thirsting was to fulfill Scripture, and some translations make that point stronger than others. Some believe that Jesus' thirsting is physical. Jesus was flogged, likely with a whip made of leather, of metal, and bone. 39 times was the custom, which often led to the flogged person losing blood, causing the person extreme thirst. There is a similar spiritual, scriptural, physical pattern in the sudden flow of blood and water from his side, verse 34, when he was pierced. The blood and water piercing fulfills Scripture, and as a sidebar for us today, as we think of Moses who changed the river into blood, Cyril of Jerusalem noted, "The beginning of signs under Moses was blood and water, and the last of all of Jesus' signs was the same, a new Moses." Spiritually, this blood and water are the foundation of our practices of baptism and communion. And physically, it is an important sign to us that unlike the gods of Greek myths, which supposedly had a fluid flowing through their veins called ichor, Jesus was fully God and fully human, blood and water. The scholar Irenaeus wrote, "If he was not made of what we were, flesh and blood, he did no great thing when he suffered and endured." Blood and water do not separate until circulation stops. Jesus was already dead. I am thirsty. Around this sanctuary are images that point us to Christ. Barbara Goucher gave us visuals that were recently marveled over by a child about 10 years old who came into the sanctuary for the first time and saw these stained glass windows. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. The Message paraphrase here says, "Anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life." Most of these stained glass window images are of Jesus' "I am" statements. "I am the bread of life. I am the true vine." Then we have symbols of baptism and communion. They all point us to Jesus' identity. "I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Add today to Jesus' identity, "I am thirsty." Fully God, fully human. George Mueller in England created orphanages for thousands of children. 5 buildings that cost over £100,000 to build. He did so without debt, without asking for financial support, in the 1800s, before crowdfunding. Feeding that many children daily was a challenge. And one day there was no food to offer the children in the orphanage. George Mueller, when at his best, prayed. He prayed for God to provide for the children who were thirsty. We thirst too. Shortly after, a milk truck broke down right in front of one of the orphanages. Refrigeration was not yet invented, and rather than crying over milk, in this case, not spilled, but what would have spoiled, the driver gave the milk to the children of the orphanages. What might happen if two or three people here today grew in faith like George Mueller, that Jesus came for all who are thirsty? What if three people today began praying to God like this as our I am, our everything, our source? This last story is very silly, very silly. At the Mennonite Church USA special delegate session this past summer, we were gathered around table groups. They had invited us to stand while the ballots were being counted for the repentance and transformation resolution. And because it took a long time to count the ballots, we were singing a song together over and over. And you know how it is when you repeat a song, maybe a little too long. And the song was, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." And so we're standing around our table groups, holding hands, singing this song. And I told you this is silly, but I'm using it to make a point about our lives with God. I found it strange that as I looked around the room, it was a group of Mennonites singing, "Be still and know that I am God." Gender. Singing that we are God. I didn't see that in people's behavior. And let me be clear, I love the music that Jackson and Seth and others create based on scripture. And I think the people there knew we were singing from Psalm 46, a verse of scripture where God says, "Be still and know that I am God." What I notice in my life, and maybe this happens in yours, when I open my home, my checkbook, my calendar, when I am anxious or discouraged, when I am thirsty or when I'm tired of being thirsty, I show what I believe about God. And I show who is God of my life. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Our shepherd, who thirsted, leads us to springs of living water. And out of the overflow of His life, His pierced side, we find ours. Augustine, in a sermon on Jesus' transfiguration, which we've thought about at least three times here recently at Zion, said, "The life came down that He might be slain. The bread came down that He might hunger. The way came down that He might be wearied in the way. The fountain came down that He might thirst." Before Moses ever used his staff at the Red Sea, before he ever struck the rock and water came out. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. I want to know this God." "Be still and know that I am is our God. Be still and know that I am is our God. Be still and know that I am is our God." I invite you to look at the stained glass windows again. Remember Christ and His thirst. rest in who God is and rest in who is God. I invite you to sing our song of response with me, and we're changing the lyrics a bit. Be still and know that I am is our God. Be still and know.